Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries Radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And He has so many wonderful things to say to His people. He loves you so much. He loves you forever. He always did. He had a plan before you were born just for you. Enter into the plan of God by being faithful with the Word of God. A lot of people would love to know what their purpose is, what their mission is. It's as simple as this. Satan's trying to hide it and God's trying to reveal it. Be faithful with what He already revealed. Be faithful with His Word. Believe on Jesus Christ. You enter into life that way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. The life of God will reveal to you over time the perfect plan of God in your life. It's an everlasting plan. It's a plan of hope. It's a plan of faith. It's a plan of blessing. It's even a plan of prosperity, not by worldly standards, but God will supply you to supply. He will supply you to love others. The same love that He gives you, you give it to others. Children who are raised by godly parents, by parents that love them, they're in a house of love. They do better in life. It's proven. It's factual. When people represent God to their children, when men are the priest of their home, and they love God, they pray over their whole family is better off. And it's harder for the enemy to deceive them into darkness. Because when you teach them what darkness is, and you teach them the life of God, When they're able to compare the two. The Proverbs put it this way: train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he won't depart from it. Because most people, if they could choose what's better, they'll choose God. But when they don't know God, they'll choose whatever based on their fleshly desires, based on what others treasure. Some people are afraid to live. They look for somebody to lead them. They join gangs. They look for somebody to make their decisions. They even join the military. But see, in the military, they teach you how to think, how to fight, how to win, how to be a unit. But see, that's good. But when you get in God's army, when you join God, when you enter into life, He's not trying to use you for His own gain. Men will, of all backgrounds. Sometimes men will try to use you for their purposes. It's not always bad. They'll try to get you to do what they want to do, even good things. But God wants you to first. He gives you the right and the ability to choose what's true. And you decide whether you want to do it or not. He'll reveal a plan to you, but you'll decide whether you're going to do it or not. Because you're not a robot. You're His child. Now, as a creator, sometimes He designed you for a specific thing. And now you'll have to choose to do it. That will always be true. You'll have to choose to continue to do it. And He'll call you to do something and He'll commission you. If you do it, it's going to be great blessings. Some things, not everything, but sometimes there are people that God have called to. There was a man I'm thinking about. God called him the nations, but He showed him, if you don't go, that blood will be on your hands. And that meant that he could have, if he didn't go, it would have been bad for him. Because you don't want people's blood on your hands. That's bad. But he went and he chose to follow God and his life was strong. His name is Lester Sumrall. And you can read about him. He wrote many books. He's on YouTube. Many miracles happened in his ministry because he laid down his life and did God's business. But most people are not called to do something that Lester Sumrall was called to do. God will use you where you are, in most cases. And He can send you to the far reaches of the earth. But I tell you what, if you do it, you're going to be glad you did. Just like all things that's of life. If you follow through, you're going to be very glad you did. You're going to love the things of God. You're going to cherish it. It's going to mean something to you. And you're going to want to do it. But when the enemy wants you to do something, he coerces you. He leverages you. He uses fear tactics. God don't use fear tactics. He never has used a fear tactic. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh and preach. He decided he wasn't going. God told him to go east. He went west. He got on a ship, sailed away. And God caused him to go back. They threw him overboard at his command. And God prepared a fish to swallow him and take him back to shore. And then he did a 3-day journey in one day, which means God transported him where he needed to be to save people's lives. Now, those kind of things happen when people's lives are at stake. Sometimes you're the perfect person to minister to people, and God will make sure you get there. And you may see all forms of miracles, because remember, when you're operating under the rule of God, miracles can happen. God can do anything. He can transport you, and you won't be the first one transported. He transported others many times in the Old Testament. Beyond all that, back to you, God loves you, and the plan that he has for you is good. As you begin to follow him and be faithful with what he already said, that's going to enable you, my friend, to be ushered into the perfect will of God. They that are led by God, they are the sons and daughters of God. So if God can tell you what to do, that means you're his child. He can't tell an evil man what to do, because if he did, they'd get saved. The evil man just won't do it. He orders the steps of a good man. And when God orders your steps, that's a good. Every time God has ordered my steps, I had planned to do things when I was under my parents' supervision as a child. There were some things I had planned to do that was wrong, and I knew it was wrong. And God interrupted me. I wasn't able to do it. Many times I had decided to do things, and the Lord messed up what I was going to do. I wasn't able to do it. But when I got older, I did some things I really wish I didn't do. And the Lord can alter, you know, he heard the prayers of my parents. And he got me out of I was about to get in all forms of trouble, and the Lord steered me out of it because my parents were praying for me. That's why I know for a fact, if you pray over your children, if you seek the Lord will show you things that's going on, and he'll show you how to pray and counsel them. Your anger's not enough to stop it. Your thread of a belt ain't enough to stop it either. Some things takes the handiwork of God. But the plan of God is so much better than anything you know. Because as you study his word, just like you read about the miracles of others on the pages, that's going to be your reality. And on this broadcast, I know some ministers may shy away from the miracles of God and the spiritual things of God. But I'm not afraid of it, because that's my life. I speak in tongues. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. I'm in good company. John spoke in tongues. Peter spoke in tongues. Mary, the mother of Jesus, spoke in tongues. She was right there with the 120 at the upper room. Speaking in tongues is of God. It's not of Satan. And some preachers say, well, that's of Satan. I'm afraid to say that something that's pure of the Holy Spirit is of Satan. And that's just ignorance. They don't know what they're talking about. I pray for people expecting their healing. And I have, being honest with you, many times I pray for people, they've gotten healed. Sometimes people did not get healed. And you know, sometimes there are limitations out there. One of them that I'm sure of is unforgiveness. I have prayed for people and if there's unforgiveness, God won't forgive them unless they forgive others. If you know of somebody you didn't forgive, go ahead and forgive them. That's a stumbling block. Another one is fear. If the person I'm praying for has fear, you know, if you know that you have something, and we're believing God, you're studying the Word. Don't fear. Fill your heart with God's Word. Fill your heart with God's Word. And the Word say, if you go to the elders, they'll pray the prayer of faith, and you will recover. Things that will hinder you, do something about it. All forms of doubt, unbelief, the words of others, they work to hinder you. The first person my pastor prayed for died. But I've seen many miracles happen in his life. And he explained what happened. The lady was doing better as he was praying for her. He was encouraging her. Then he'd leave the hospital, and her pastor would come and try to soothe her. And she'd get back into doubt and do worse. Then he'll come back and pray for her and give her the word, and she'd do better. Then her pastor would come and talk to her again. He didn't believe in healing like my pastor does. He was trying to help, and I understand that people try to help. But when people are taught wrong, it is very difficult. Hear me, I love everybody. I love people that teach wrong too. I'm not bashing people. These are people that God loves. And I've seen ministers do it. Well-meaning ministers. I've even done it myself. Well-meaning. But if God is going to move, somebody's going to believe him for it. And they're going to be in faith without doubt. Jesus said that if you have faith and no doubt inside your heart, you will ask what you will, and it will be done to you. That's just the way it is. Remember, the man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus said, will you be made whole? In other words, do you have the fight to push this to the limit? Are you going to take your healing or not? And he explained he had nobody to put him in the water at the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus said, rise up and walk. And then he told him something else. He said, go and sin no more. Now, sin is something that can cause healing. Not every case, but it can be a factor. Sometimes your sickness is an attack. And you just have to fight Satan. And you have to rebuke the enemy. And command your... You have every right in the name of Jesus to command your body to be perfectly healed. And if you have the faith, so it will be done unto you. These are the things that we have to learn. And sometimes churches don't teach it that way. Sometimes they do. But nevertheless, if you happen to go to a church you love and they don't teach healing like that, you're just going to have to do it yourself. And you're going to have to go where people are. Doesn't mean you have to stop going to your church. You're just going to have to go and let people pray for you that believe on it. That believe the things of God without doubt. They are called elders. Now, the Lord loves us. Remember, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. And all these broadcasts are free. Everything on the website is free. This is a real non-profit organization. But I treasure this. I treasure people receiving God's word. Everybody who will... Sometimes people want to know God. They just don't have the money. They drive cars and they're upside down in the car. They bought the car. They paid too much. The car had some problems. They had to fix it. They can't sell it. They better not wreck it. Because then they still got to pay a balloon to the bank. And they want to know God. And they live in paycheck to paycheck. God loves you. I want to give you something to work with. Get you started. When you get rich, go bless somebody else. If you don't bless me when you get rich, bless somebody else. Keep it going. Because one day, if God take too long coming, I'll die. But the people still need to hear the word of God. But I believe his return is soon. I don't think I'm going to ever get to die. Because I believe his return is soon. In fact, the theme of this year is ready or not. Now, as you follow God and do His word, your life, a healing process starts in you. And the Lord will start giving you instructions. Do the instructions. Do what God is putting in your heart. Because the healing process that began in you will increase. And your life will repair and do better and better. And that's just the plan. It's all very simple. When you start trusting the Lord and taking Him at His word, you start seeing greater things. It's the heart of God to bless you. He loves you. I always, in every broadcast, probably from the beginning, I've said God loves you. That's true. You mean a lot to Him. See, modern preaching, they focus on what you do. God focuses on you as a person. He has to warn you of what sin will do to you. People don't understand what sin will do. And sometimes they don't really set out to sin. But not getting saved, you're in sin. Even if you don't do what other people are doing or the gross things, the sin condition must be dealt with. And the only thing that can deal with it is the blood of Jesus Christ and your faith in His works. You got to believe that He died for you and shed His blood in your place. You got to believe that Jesus gave you salvation. You got to believe that salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. And you got to receive it. That's the love of God. He died so that you could live. He had to die to redeem you. Because we were made after, we were born after Adam's sin. If he had children before he sinned, understand, if he had any children before he sinned, those children would still be alive. But he had children, all of his children were born after he had sinned. So everybody, this was a fallen race. Because your children are after your type, after your kind. That's why sin is transferred through the male, not the female. Eve was deceived. But when Adam sinned, both of the eyes were open. So Jesus was the seed of woman. The male blood didn't tarnish him because he was born of the Holy Spirit. Virgin born of the Holy Spirit. So now, through His blood, He died for us at the Father's will and at His will. His will became God's will. And the similar thing is going to happen to you. A similar thing will happen to you. The love of God, that's God's will operate in your life. And you will love people just like the Father loved you. I understand this love, and the more I love you, the more I understand that God loves me. The more God loves me, the more motivated I am to love you and everybody else. Not only the good people that are kind to me, but the people that are rude. The people I wouldn't want to vote for. And as well, the people that I will vote for. Election years this year, please don't get in strife with anybody. Don't get in strife with the ones you like or the ones you don't like. Don't get in strife with the people that your family hate. Whoever wins, pray that God will use them or he or her for His glory. Don't join in the backbiting. People love to tear down their enemy politicians. Now, I know I'm stepping on toes. But see, you don't need to be in strife with anybody because strife will hinder your prayers. Strife will hinder your prayers. And your prayers need to be fully operational. Your angels that watch over your life, they need to be employed. They don't need to be unemployed because you've gotten in strife somewhere and offended the people. That's too dangerous. If somebody offended you, if the politician didn't vote like you wanted, forgive them. Every day, forgive people. Don't hold offense. Because the enemy, that's one of his... He take more people to hell with offenses than lust. You know lust is wrong. You know lusting after somebody's wife is wrong, or daughter, or whoever. You know that pornography is wrong. But people, they're shunning that. They're shunning smoking and drinking and getting high and hate their sister, their own mother's daughter or their father's daughter. Raising in the house, they'll hate them and won't talk to them for years. And when you think of their name, they get mad. And then you got to forgive people. If you want, we all need God to forgive us, and we need to forgive each other. If people, whoever did you wrong, whoever killed somebody you love, forgive them. Don't be offended. Love people with God's love. God will strengthen you. You know, I watch the news. I get mad at people because they try to kidnap children. And I have to go and pray so that I don't get in strife. Because I don't like people bothering children. That meant that I get upset. But I cannot afford to get offended. Some things you got to put in God's hands. I'm not afraid to talk about things because these are things that people go through. And in the family, when people, they're devastated because somebody was stupid. They were going to use their child the wrong way and sold that child. I want to throw a brick through their head. But I'm not here to represent Thurston. I'm here to represent Jesus. And I love people. Satan can be stopped and people can be corrected. So when I see trouble brewing, I used to see gunfights brewing. And they would start shooting their guns at each other. And I would tell Satan he couldn't kill anybody or hurt anybody. In Jesus' name. I couldn't afford to get frustrated. I couldn't afford to get offended. I couldn't afford to get in strife. Because you can't fight Satan with his... You can't fight Satan using his tactics. If you're going to win a spiritual war, you got to do it the way God said do it. See, I'm not asking you to let people walk over you. People read that into what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying take full authority over Satan. Don't be in strife with people. Don't be moved by what you see. Have faith in the Lord and tell Satan to get out of your life. Tell Satan to stop using people to have gunfights on your street or your avenue. And pray over your neighborhood. Pray over all the people in your neighborhood, all of them, all the little children. See, everybody has angels that can help. You don't have to pick up a gun. See, you don't have to pick up a gun to get your point across. If you learn what Jesus said, you can operate according to his word. Jesus said he gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. The greatest angels to the poisonous insects and snakes. All the power of the enemy. Remember, Paul shook an adder off in the fire. That Habu snake, he bit it, hung on his arm. He shook it out in the fire and it burned up. Why? Because he refused to die from a stupid snake bite. Why could he do that? Because in Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. He gave us power over all the power of the enemy in Luke chapter 10. If a witch doctor puts something in your drink and you drink it, you claim immunity if you know it. And pray over your life. That if anybody try to poison you, drug you, cause you to drink something deadly like antifreeze or whatever, you're immune to it. Don't go and drink it on purpose. But if you know you drunk a deadly thing, claim immunity and you will live. Now, I live in the woods. So when I was putting a belt on my lawnmower, and I felt something bite me near my navel, on my stomach. And we have all kind of spiders, you know, about. I didn't know what bit me, but I felt it. I immediately said, nothing shall by no means hurt me. I quoted the scripture in Luke chapter 10. And then I got up and went to get a belt to put on the lawnmower. It was a riding lawnmower. And I felt something else bite me. So I opened my shirt and looked. It was just an ant, so I brushed it off. That time, the second time, I didn't claim immunity. And I felt both stings. Hear me good, because I'm going somewhere. I felt the first bite and I felt the second one. But the second time, I knew it was just an ant. And I brushed it off. And then, after about 5 or 6 minutes, 7 maybe, less than 10, I looked at my stomach. The second bite swole up, and the first one didn't. I'm going to say that again. I want it to register. The second ant bite swole up and turned red. And the first one did not. It looked normal. I could feel it, but it didn't swell up. Why? Because the first bite, I didn't know what it was, and I took authority. The second time, I did not take authority. So that the venom of the ant went its course, and it swelled up and turned red. But the first time he bit me, which was more venom, it didn't hurt me because I'm immune to it. I took authority. Now, I've seen people preach this for years. And people get stung by a wasp or bit by a spider or a snake, and they go to the doctor. Their first reaction is not to claim immunity. I'm talking about Christian people. I've seen them do it. Godly people even. Don't ignore what Jesus is saying. If you want to enter the plan of God for your life, start being faithful with all of his word that you know. You're going to have success, and it is likely that you'll have some failures. Statistically, you will have failures. But don't stop trusting the Lord's word. Keep on enforcing it. You're gonna start winning. Because some things will be so new and strange to you, you'll still have residual doubt. And if that doubt gets in your heart, it won't work. But sometimes you're going to stumble out of darkness, and your faith will take over, and you're going to have victory. And you're going to know that your faith worked. All of these things will happen. Don't be alarmed when you fail. God's got you. He can make the difference. He does have doctors and lawyers and everything else in place if you don't work it out by your faith. You're not under scrutiny. He loves you whether you win or lose. If you pray for somebody and they die, God loves you. You try. People that won't try because they're afraid, I'm more ashamed of them than the people that try and fail. People that try to save faith, I'm more ashamed of them than the people that don't try at all, even if they fail. If you try and fail, hey, I'm bragging on you. But if you don't try to do God's word, I'm more ashamed of a person that won't try than the person that try and fail. Because eventually, Jesus didn't fail. And eventually, you keep on doing his word, you're not going to fail. And you'll come to the point that you'll forget the last time you failed. If you just walk out of the world, you got all the rights and privileges that Jesus paid for. But you got to believe it in your own heart. And you got to be able to not doubt in your heart. And you got to be able to go forward in the loving ways of God. It's your heritage. You got to get to know him. And understand. After that, understanding will form. Whatever you need, the Lord can manifest himself to supply you. There are 7 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The spirit of wisdom and knowledge, counsel and might. The spirit of the Lord, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the spirit of understanding. There are 7 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about it in Revelation. Isaiah talked about it in chapter 11. And it's important to receive what the Spirit of God is saying. I like to make things simple. If you're just getting started, study the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew chapter 5. If you start at chapter 4 and read all the way through chapter 8, there's a lot. That's what the Word of God preached when he came. Chapter 4 shows you how to win a war. Chapter 5 is what he taught. In chapter 6 and 7 and 8, they give you insight and what to watch out for, what to expect, what God is doing. Now, when you go to the first three chapters of Revelation, you see Jesus in his glorified form, giving instruction to the seven churches. And the spectrum of what he taught will cover every problem you could ever have. But he's dealing with it at the root level. Study and pay attention to what he's saying to the church. And then go back and receive the word of God and live according to his word. And you and the Holy Spirit will prepare you and usher you into the perfect plan of God that you're going to desperately love and treasure. The love of God in you, you're going to treasure it and enjoy life. Now, I'm out of time again. But the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. And God truly loves you. He greatly loves you, too. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. Thank you.